Book of Jeremiah, chapter 21, please. And when you get there, just give me an amen so I know when to start. Amen. Jeremiah 21 in your Bibles, please. The Word of God should be hidden in our hearts, as David said, that we might not sin against thee. How do you know the way in which you should go unless you know the Word of God, which leads and guides? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide God's word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Jesus is that light that shines in the heart of every man to show them the right way, to show them what's right and what's wrong, to show them the good and honest way. Amen. Jesus is amazing. He's wonderful. I'm so thankful that he saved a wretch like me, and he's allowed me to be any part of his ministry to do the work of the Lord. And he's called all of you here, to do the work of God. So I hope and pray, as John the Baptist, my verse that is in Luke 1:17, it's what God gave the world, John the Baptist, for this purpose, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To make ready. And that's what we're doing here in church, to make us ready, because one day we shall meet him. One day we shall see him face to face. One day all of this shall not be faith, it shall be sight. Amen. And we shall know as we are known. And everything that we've done on this earth shall be revealed. Everything we've ever spoken from the rooftops shall be, spoken in secret shall be shouted from the rooftops. Everything that we do, let God be honored today. Let God know that today, at least today, you're walking with the Lord. Today, you're here to obey the Lord. Here today, you've eagerly come and given your money and your tithes and given your song and praise and worship. You've given your prayers, and now you're giving your ears to hear the Lord. Amen. That's what church is about. In chapter 21 of Jeremiah, look with me in verse 8, it says this. It says, unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. There is a way of life, and there is a way of death. All of us have to be born into the family of God through the amazing work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, bringing you to the Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that he died for you, and you totally accept that, and you call upon his name to save you. Amen. Then and only then are you called the children of the Most High God. And then and only then are you able to, I would say, obey the commandments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Lord? See, I don't know. You're in a Baptist church. You're allowed to shout. You're allowed to sing. You're allowed to shout. You're allowed to run up and down the halls. You're allowed to give a Holy Ghost hallelujah. You're in a Baptist church, all right? So when I say, is Jesus Christ the Lord? Amen. There you go. Now it sounds like you're alive a little bit. Is Jesus Christ God Almighty? Amen. Is he your Savior? Is he your King? Is he or is he not? The answer is yes, with a wholeheartedly. And what did our King, our God, and our Savior say? Follow me. That's what he commanded all people everywhere to follow him. And that is the only way of life, is following Jesus Christ. Do you agree? Amen. If you're not following Jesus Christ, what are you following? Think about it. If you're not following Jesus, who are you following? Where are you following? That's why he only set two ways before you. Behold, I set before you this day the way of life and the way of death. And I want you to, through this message today, to realize that there is a way of life. There is a way of death. So therefore, let me just set the stage by saying, if there is a way of life, someone say amen, what is life? What is life? I love the dictionary. I love my Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. Amen. This is the dictionary of the greatest one, the most intelligent men ever to walk the earth, Noah Webster, a godly man. He deciphered all the languages, and he was a God-fearing, God, a very holy man. And he wrote that dictionary, Noah Webster, and it was inside of every schoolhouse in America. all the way up into the late 50s. And they took it out, amen, because it talked and referenced God in almost every single one. But here, according to Noah Webster, it says, what is life? In the dictionary, it says it is growth. Just, it's a lot of things, but just listen. It is growth. It's reproduction. It's existence. It's being. That's why I like to say it's being. To be or not to be? That is the question. You know it is. To be or not to be? To walk in the ways of God or not to be? Creation. And the Bible says that we are now made a new creature, a new creation. It means the living. It means a particular type of aspect of people's existence. It's an existence. Listen to this. I truly, really like this when I saw this in the dictionary. It means dedicated oneself. Please listen. Dedicated oneself, devoted oneself, give oneself, surrender oneself. That's dictionary. That's not even, I don't preach right there. Devoted oneself, that what is life? I'll tell you what life, is a dedicate yourself to something. It's not only dedicated, devoted to something, give yourself to something, surrender. That sounds to me like a Christian right there. What is life when you devote yourself to the giver of life, the maker of life? The Bible says that Christ is our life. That God, do you believe that God is the creator and the giver of all life? Is he or is he not? Amen. Yeah, he is. He is the master. He is the creator. He is life. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We know that it is only Jesus. In him has life. So therefore, we should be actively following him, devoted to him, surrendered to him. It also says a lifestyle. It says enthusiasm. I like that. Energy, spirit, and fire. I like that because that shows that your church is alive. Amen? If your church has no fire, has no enthusiasm, has no spirit, I would say you're not alive. And that's a problem. Many churches today, and God forbid, don't ever let our... Father, I'm asking you right now, Lord, if you ever see us sleeping, if you ever see us dying, if you ever see us not enthused, send some lightning down and fire us up. Put a fire under on my shoe, light a fire on my pants, I don't care what it is, just fire me up, amen? Because that's what life is all about. It's enthusiasm, it's something, it's life. Because the opposite of that is fire. It's life force, it's an existence. And actually says the existence of an individual human being. But in all reality, that's dictionary, we know life is so much more. Life is so much more. Life is strength, it's love, it's joy, it's family, it's friends, it's purpose, it's meaning, it's knowledge, it's wisdom, it's victories and it's defeats, it's ups, it's downs. Life is so much more than what any dictionary could ever say. Can I get an amen on that? Life is one thing that the Bible says it is, and both this says it is, it's growth. Without growth, there is no life. And what you need to know is that God said, I have come that you might have life. I have come that you might have enthusiasm. I've come that you might have passion. I've come that you might have life and life more abundant. God wants you to have the abundant life, and that life is only found in Jesus Christ. And if there is a life, and I will go quickly, but in John 10:10, I quoted it already, but Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to rob, to kill, and to destroy. That's the devil. And that's what I look at, and then you see as well, in this life, people's lives are destroyed. People's lives are robbed. And it's a shame, isn't it? Because they're not in the way of life. They're in the way of death. And the opposite of life is death. And what does death mean? But Jesus said on that, but I have come that you might have life, and life more abundant. Death is this, very simply, ready? It's separation. Death is separation from all the things that I just said above. Death is separation from all that God has created, all the good, all the pleasant, all the kindness, all the love, all the anything that you've ever experienced while this body was alive, anything you've ever experienced that put a smile on your face, anything you've ever experienced as a cool breeze in the summer or in the spring or a babbling brook or the trees as they're blooming. We have a lavender bush right outside my door. Oh, the smell. I just sit there and go, I did it. This morning I did it. Last night I sit there and go, and I started to smile. I said, you're awesome. I said, you're awesome. Because here I am looking at these beautiful things hanging, and this smell is outrageous, and he did it just for me. Well, he did it for us. You know, he did that so we can go, wow, that was good. He's awesome, man. God is good. Well, you know what death is? Death is without anything good. No good at all in death. This is what the dictionary says. Separation from God, from all good that is God has created. Separation from all the things that I just said. Death is empty. Please listen. Death is vain. Death is meaningless. It's fruitless. It's darkness. It's more than darkness. It's pain. It's torment. It's despair. And one of the things I think is the worst thing is that you'll find in hell, there's no hope. Death is no hope. There's no hope in death. Death is the state of termination. It's an extinction. It's a separation from light, from goodness, from knowledge, and from growth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. That's what death is. If you're not following the way of life, that means you're in the way of death. That means there's no purpose. There's no meaning. It's void. It's empty. It has no shape. It has no, you know, I'll tell you right now, there's people, so many out there that have devoted their lives, true, devoted their lives to their companies. They've devoted their lives to their families, which doesn't sound like a bad thing. They've devoted their lives to their children. They devoted their lives to whatever. But all that is empty. It's all vain. It means nothing. It doesn't do anything. You know what? It's hard when you ever hear of midlife crisis? You ever hear that? Yes. You know, on TV, they said the guy, you know, I don't know when it starts, 40s or 50s. The guy goes out and buys a Corvette, you know, because I never had that feeling. But I have had the feeling, I guess, which is midlife crisis, is you start evaluating your life. And you start looking back going, what have I really done? What have I really accomplished? And you start seeing emptiness. You start to see not much. You start to see, what have I done with my life? That is death. And what death is, the way of death is the way of nothingness, meaning no hope, no purpose, no meaning, no life, no joy. Jesus Christ has come that you might have life. And that life is only found in him. So that's why he said, I set before you this day the way of life and the way of death. In Jude chapter 1, don't turn the ears, I'm just going to read these for you. I'm going to read a lot of verses for you. I don't want you to turn. We'll be turning soon enough. But in Jude 1:13, it says, they who reject God's offer, whom it says, to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. You know, Jesus said many times, he said that the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. And it says, and there should be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There'd be outer darkness. You know what that is? That's the way of death. See, there's only two ways. The way of life, which is Jesus Christ, and the way of death, which is not Jesus Christ. Do I get a witness on that? Do you understand that it's that simple? The simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had you say, who is your Savior? Who is your Lord? Who's your King? Let me ask you, men, how many men are in this room? Raise your hand. Say amen. Men all over. You ever watch those movies, you know, like Gladiator, and you know, you watch the knight movies and King Arthur, and you all watch them? You know, you see how the king is, yes, my liege, you know what I mean? And the knights of the round table, they have honor and dignity. You know, they have valentry, and they go out riding on a horse. And why? Because their king has sent them, and they're all noble men. Doesn't that get you a little fired up? Like, you know, I know Rocky gets you fired up, but we're not talking about Rocky right now. We're talking about a knight, or talking about a man that has his allegiance, his whole purpose is to serve his king. That's his purpose. You see, when the kings were here in the days of old, they had a purpose, and their purpose was to serve the king. And here we are, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty, the Creator, has died and suffered and gave his life for us and rose again, and his Spirit dwells inside all believers and says, give me your allegiance. Give me your everything. Follow me. Give it to me. Mark, give it to him. Is there anyone that you would ever want to give your allegiance to that outside of God? Think about it. But yet, do we really? And that's the thing, and I'm talking to the church. I'm not talking to the lost. I'm talking to the church. If we're not actively following, you see, you can't just follow Jesus on Sundays. That's not in the way of life. The way of life is every time your heart beats. The way of life is every day. Monday, you cold? Really? Everyone else cold? Because I'm hot in here. Woo! Get fired up. See? You got to sing. If you sing real loud, you sweat. Amen? Your veins pop out. Your blood pressure goes up. Amen? You might have a heart attack, but that's okay. You're in the right place. Listen, life is not on Sundays. The way of life is not when you come to church. The way of life is following Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do? No. Don't ask that. What did Jesus tell you to do? It's not about what Jesus did. It's what Jesus told you to do. That is the only way and the only way of life. And I'm trying to help our church today. And I hope you'll listen to this. Matthew 8:12 says this, but the children of the kingdom of God shall be cast out into outer darkness. The children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Could you imagine? I was talking to Brian, but this, I've said this before. You know what death is? Death is separation from God. And God is good. So that means separation from anything good. Can you imagine the day you die, whatever happens to you, you wake up and you're in pure outer darkness? And you hear screams and torments, and you know that without God, there's no good. There's just pain and torment. Torment. And it says you'll be wailing and gnashing of your teeth. Why? And I don't want to get too dramatic, but I'm being serious because this is serious stuff. Why didn't I listen? Why? Because you're going to know and remember everything. Yeah. Brian said yesterday, he said he was talking to a guy, and he said that when you're in hell, because the guy is rejecting everything Jesus is saying. When you're in hell, you'll never forget my conversation with you. When you're in hell, you'll remember every time a preacher preached. When you're in hell, you'll remember every time the word of God was spoken and you didn't listen. But in heaven, you'll never remember it. Because it says former things will be wiped away. All tears shall be wiped away. And see, we'll just be looking to the eternity future. But people in hell will remember every word and they're all going to gnash their teeth. Why? Why didn't I listen? And that's the most painful torment you could ever have forever and ever and ever. Because the truth is, God doesn't send you there. You send yourself there. Jesus said, as he, the word of God, thus saith the Lord, this day I set before you life, the way of life and the way of death. I want to keep going on, if I may. But it says in Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way. Every single one of us here today, and please, just help me. Every one of us here has a thought, has a what we think. You know what I mean? Every one of us, what we feel. Well, I don't believe that that's what I have to do. This is what I feel. You know it's true. We all do. You know, and you're like, well, I don't believe that. I'll go along with it, but I don't really feel that I have to do that. And I've never preached since 6 years on women the way they dress. Never. Never. But I'll tell you right now, women, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, the number one thing is modesty. Modesty. You don't show off parts of your body that you ought not show off. Now, I could sit here and preach a message on clothing, and some people will say, yeah, amen. Other people go, I don't believe that. And I'm not. That's what I'm not talking about. I could talk about tithing and tell you exactly what the Bible says. Well, I don't believe that because you don't do it. You know, I could sit there and say soul winning. Do you realize the number one commandment of God to his people is to go, therefore, in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Why? So people can be saved? That's why God brought us here. Every single Saturday, you don't come. Why? Because you don't want to. Because you don't, I guess, you don't think you have to. And I'm not telling you to. All I'm telling you is the Bible says there is a way it seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I'm talking death, emptiness, vanity. At the end of your life, you're going to look back and you're going to wish that you listened to the Holy Spirit. Because a fulfilled life, an abundant life, is a life that you're serving and following your Savior, your Master, your King. Not your pastor, not the title of your church, but Jesus Christ who brought you here. Do you understand? This is serious stuff because God has told us over and over again about what things are to do. Proverbs 15, 24 says this, the way of life is above to the wise, that we may depart from hell beneath. The way of life is above. What does that mean? Set your eyes on things that are above. Set your affections on things that are above, where Christ sitteth. Amen? We're told in Scripture all the time to keep our mind on Christ, to keep our heart on Christ, to keep our bodies sacrificed to Christ. I'm not making this stuff up. It's my job to make you ready to meet Him. And the greatest life you can ever have is to give your life to Jesus. Amen? That's not just Sunday. Half of our church, three quarters, you know who? Every church, every pastor talks. And I'm not rebuking, reprimanding, I'm just talking. But every pastor, you know what they all say? And they say, how many you got going? And you tell them on Sunday. They said, but then you tell them on Sunday night. And you tell them on Wednesday night. You know what? Everyone agrees, that's the real church. The core of your church is those that come on Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. Those three. That's your core. Because you know they're real. And the truth of the matter is our core is the same, mostly as other people, 10%. 10% of the church pays for everything. 10% of the church comes on Wednesday night, Sunday nights. Do you know what tonight is? Tonight we're having the Lord's Supper because we missed it. So I know you have other plans, other things that are more important. You explain that to God when you see Him. But the truth of the matter is it's once a month. You come and you do the commandment of the Lord, amen, and you partake in the Lord's Supper. My point is this, is that there is a way of life and there is a way of death. If it's not following everything Jesus says, then it's not the way of life. Jesus was sent by God to be a guiding light. That's what the Bible says, to show us the way, amen, praise Jesus, the way of life. But the problem is it's the only way. John 14, turn there with me. You know the verses. Let's read them, please. In John 14. I'm not saying this to convict you. I'm saying this to help you. Do you understand? If the doctor says, please listen to me, don't get offended if I use the three-letter word fat, okay? Because I heard people before in other churches, they left because the pastor said fat. Oh, stop. Every single one of you say, I'm fat. My wife says it all the time. I'm so fat. So if I say you're fat, how dare you say I'm fat? Well, you say it all the time. So let's just stop. But if the doctor says you're overweight and you need to lose 15, 20, 30 pounds to make what? To make your life better. To take away the back pain, to take away the knee pain, to take away, lower your blood pressure and your cholesterol. You know what I mean? You don't get mad at him because he's trying to help you. Amen? Well, that's what the preacher. I'm not trying to get you upset. I'm not trying to get convicted. I'm not trying to go, here he goes again. I'm trying to help you. Amen. And the truth of the matter is you can do whatever you want. I'm just telling you exactly what God says. And here, he says this in John 14, verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Thank you for that, Lord. You believe in God? Amen. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I can imagine he's excited. See, you don't understand. He knows he's leaving the ones that he loves the most, and he knows that their hearts are troubled, and he's trying to encourage them, and he's getting excited. He's saying, where I am, you may be also. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm coming again. I'm going to receive you unto myself. So the words that he's speaking at this time, he knows the people are down, so he's trying to encourage them. You know, like, oh man, this is a good thing. This is a good thing that I go. Oh, don't be depressed because I'm coming back. But he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be. And the way you know. And then he goes, read it. He goes, we don't know. Read it, Dave. What's it say? We don't even know where you're going. That's Thomas. That's a disciple. He's talking about heaven, people. He says, I'm going, and you know where I'm going. And they go, well, where are you going? We don't even know where you're going. And how can we know the way? If you don't know where you're going, you cannot know the way. Do you understand? If you don't know where it is you're heading, you can't get there. It's not a GPS where it just keeps saying, rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. No. God's saying there's one way. It's Jesus. And then Jesus says in the next verse, I am the way. But we don't know the way. I'm the way. But we don't know the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No, and he's like, I can imagine he must be going, are you serious? You don't even know where I'm going? He says, no one comes to the Father but by me. And then they say, show us the Father, and he'll suffice us. And he said, have I been with you so long now that you ask, show us the Father? He said, you see me, you see the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Don't you believe it that you're talking about God, the creator of all things, and he's your Lord, he's your Savior, he's your Master, he's your Father, he's your King. He is your life, and he's the only life, the only way. Why would you ever need a preacher or a kick in the pants to not follow him all the time? See, I'm being honest. Those that are the core church, They're good. They're safe. Even though they're the ones that are going to be convicted the most. The ones that are here every service. The ones that tithe more than they even make. The ones that have been here since the beginning. The ones that the reason they're here, this church is going to be celebrate 6 years. Those people, they're the ones that this message isn't even to because they're doing it. But they're the ones that are convicted the most. They're the ones that will be like, oh man, I need to do more. Well, what about everyone else? And I'm being serious, and I'm not, the way of life is just Sunday morning? That's it? This is all that you do in your life? That's empty, it's vain, it's fruitless, and it's death. And I'm just saying that because I care about you. And I want you to realize that he was sent to be the light of the world. We are commanded by God to follow him. Can I get an amen? He is the way, someone say amen. But he's the way every day. He's not the way just Sunday. He's the way every day. And before the disciples were called Christians, before in Antioch, they were first called Christians, you know what they were called? They were called the way. They said the way. That was the name of Christians before they were called Christians, the way. Because their lives were transformed and they now followed a whole different way. Why? Because they followed the teachings of their Savior, their Lord. And they followed Jesus and everyone else called them the way. Now I want you to think about this. Proverbs 10:17 says, he is in the way that keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof errs. Proverbs 15:24 says, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Psalm 1:1, I love that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And what happens? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And he shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. Woo, man, that's what happens when you have the abundant life, amen? That life is only found in Jesus. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee, and I will teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. Do you believe that? Has God instructed you? Has God taught you? But how many times do you need conviction of the Holy Ghost? Do you need the preacher to say, listen, our church is here for you. God said he's given you gifts, some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Every one of us is called to be an ambassador for Christ. Every one of us have a job. Every one of us have a purpose. Do you understand? A purpose from God, not from you. It's not your purpose anymore. You've been bought with a price. Your life is not your own. Stop trying to live it your own. That's why your life is not the way it should be. That's why you're missing something inside. That's why you don't have purpose. That's why you don't have vision. That's why, because you're not serving God the way you're supposed to serve him. Yeah, you do a little bit. You follow a little bit. But the way of life is every day. And that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to help you, because when you get 70 and 80 and you're, and I'll say even 90, but you look back and you're too old to do anything now. Seriously. Maybe you're in your nursing home. Maybe your hip's gone. Maybe your mind's gone. Maybe your eyesight's gone. Whatever, you know it's going, because it's going now. Amen? But you're going to look back and you're going to look back on your life and you're going to have all regrets that you didn't get involved in God's business more. I'm just here to help you, because that is the purpose you're here. That is what really counts. In Proverbs 25, verse 8, it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he will teach sinners in the way. Isn't that what we are? We're all sinners, and God has taught us, and he's brought us. But know what it is? Promise, he's taught us, and he's brought many of us, and we've come to hear, but then we don't go any further. We don't go any further. Romans 3:12, this is a great verse, says, we all like sheep have gone astray, right? We have all gone out of the way, and we have together become unprofitable. Let me read that again. We are all gone out of the way, and we are together, that's a church, become unprofitable. If everyone showed up every service, this church would be packed. If everyone showed up every soul winning, this church would be packed. If everyone showed up on time, if everyone tithed, we would have need for nothing. What we couldn't do. Oh my, and it's just because people want to go and do their own way. Amen. Let me keep reading. It says in Matthew 3:3, it says about John the Baptist, one of my favorite. It says, one was sent crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Matthew 7:14 says, because straight is the gate. Would you turn there? Let's look at that. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Great, great, great verse. Matthew 7. I want you to learn something today. Let this not just be church, me preaching, and you're saying, okay, when is he over? Because it's only 12 minutes after, and I am going to be done, I guess, soon. It looks like I am. I don't know. People say, you stop saying that, so I'll just stop saying it. But if you look in Matthew chapter 7, are you there? Look at me. Let me see where I want to start. Look in verse 14. It says this, it says, because, it says, enter ye, that's you, in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And then he goes on in the other verse to tell you, beware of false prophets, which they're going to teach you the wrong things. But then you can go right down to verse 20, and it's, or verse 19, and it says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is honed down and cast into fire. It says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And then he says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know what iniquity is? Dave said it's evil. You know what evil is? Evil is the opposite of good. Iniquity is doing something that's not good. Doing something means not following Jesus, because there's only two ways, the way of life and the way of death. Let me continue on. Acts 2:28, it says that thou hast made me to know the way of life. Can anyone say that that's true? God has taught me the way of life. God has made me known the way of life. I have learned, I have heard. My preacher tells me every Sunday. The Bible tells me, the Spirit tells me. Can we all say, just say amen? Yes, I've been taught then we need to walk. Hebrews 5:2 says, Christ has compassion on them that are out of the way. See, we all like sheep have gone astray. We've all gone our own way. But the great thing is the master calls. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And they know me. And they follow me. See, I don't care where you're at today. If you are truly a child of God, hear his voice today. And come back and follow the master. Follow the Lord. Because that is life. That's the only thing that's going to matter in the end. The only thing that's ever going to matter is not your job, not your children, not your house, not your car, not your clothing, not your vacations, not anything else on this earth. The only thing that's going to matter is what you did for Jesus Christ. That's it. And if that be the case, it makes it pretty simple what we ought to do. 2 Peter 2:21 says this, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they'd known it to turn from the holy commandment that is delivered unto them. It is better for them not to know than to know and not do. Jeremiah 8, 21:8, like we said, it says, I've set before you life, the way of life and the way of death. Turn with me, and we are going to finish with these couple verses. 1 Kings chapter 18, and then we're going to go to Joshua 24. 1 Kings 18. First Kings 18, God always sends a man of God. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always call down from heaven some way to let you know what he wants from you. And here in 1 Kings chapter 18, look in verse 21. You have the man, the prophet Elijah, and it says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Stop. How long halt ye between two opinions? You may not believe that you have to be here every service. You may not believe that. But that's what the Bible says. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Why do we always have to be the some? Why do we always have to be the one that's being rebuked? Why can't we be the one that's on board? Why can't we be the one doing our best? That's all. God doesn't ever expect you to do more than you can. He just expects you to do what you can. Just do what you can. We all do. We're all busy, aren't we busy? Josaph and Jane, talk to them. It's funny, since they've been retired, they're more busier than they ever been. And that's like my dad. I remember when he retired, he's like, I'm so busy, I have no time to do anything. I'm like, that's retirement. Yeah, because there's always things to do. When you're at work, you can't do them. So you're stuck, you're at your job, right? And everyone's like, oh, my job stinks. Well, you better be happy you got one, first of all. And you better be happy, because as soon as you don't have a job, you're going to have 800 things to do every day. And then guess what? How many do you get done, right? And my wife, because she works a 40-hour week, she goes to work and she comes home, and she, because I don't have a 40, you know, it's like I don't have, I can work at home, I can work here, you know what I mean? It's like that. And so she's like, well, you don't do nothing all day. Oh. Yeah, how do you think I feel? And I'm like, I'm not even going to get into it right now, but I'm like, I have hundreds of things to do. And it's like, because I'm home most of the time, I in the winter, I don't come here and turn the heat on just for me to study. So I have my place to study, and I have my place, I do all my studying and writing and praying. But that takes hours out of your day, hours. So you know what happens is when, on a Saturday, right? Saturday, you have off, you have things to do on Saturday? Do you get them all done? Never. Try that every day. You never have time to get it done because life is busy. It's busy, and that's the truth. But the things that are important to you, you get done. The things that are really important, oh, you get your nails done. Oh, you get your hair done. Oh, you get your car washed. Oh, you do your smoking on your meats and your grills, and oh, you go shopping, and oh, you go to this. But an hour on Saturday, can't do it, Pastor. Don't have any time. And I'm sorry. I'm just being honest because I'm one of you, and I know that I need it, because the truth, just being honest, Sunday morning Christians doesn't cut it. You cannot grow. You cannot grow spiritually coming to church this Sunday morning. It's impossible. It's impossible. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to help you today. Let me finish with this. Keep reading. Look what he says. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If he's God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. You see, you know what Baal was? Baal was the god of the world. What the world tells you to do. The world tells you to be busy. The world tells you this. The world tells you got to do that. And you obey. But God, straight is the way. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. And that way is only Jesus Christ. Following Jesus. Don't ask, what would Jesus do? Ask, what did Jesus tell me to do? In every situation. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. And after I read this verse, if you would come up, Bethany, be so kind. Don't you have a Bible, Michelle? Really? A regular Bible? There is no regular Bible. They're all awesome. Oh, you mean a pew Bible? Amen. I got to get you one. Didn't I get you one? Really, all this time? Oh, because it wasn't a King James? We got rid of that thing for you? All right. Kicked it to the curb, did we? Well, that's no good. We can't do that if we don't replace it. So she needs a good Bible. Anyone wants to buy an expensive one or a nice one, you get her a good King James Bible. Amen. Look what it says with me, if you would, in verse 14. Joshua 24:14, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth." Amen. "And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood." He's talking about in Egypt. "And in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord." And look what he says. "And if it seem evil," that means bad. If it seems not right. If it doesn't seem the right thing to do. "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." That means the gods of America, the things that Americans do, that go the places America goes, the music America listens to, all the ways of America. Just go follow them. Amen. But it says here, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I am the leader of my home. My wife has no choice but to do the things that God says to do. Because she's not listening to me, she's listening to God. My children can rebel, but I will never change. Thus saith the Lord." Amen. With that said, Bethany, if you come on up. And I want to read this verse to you as she's ready to play. And I want you to listen to this. It's in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It says this, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you." Moses, his hands stretched out, and he said, "I call heaven and earth this day to record against you people that are here today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life. I'm begging you. Choose life. Choose Jesus Christ. Because whether you go to hell and you'll be gnashing your teeth, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I listen? There's going to be people in this room that go to heaven and be gnashing their teeth saying, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I listen? Because everything you do on this earth matters. It matters. And Jesus matters the most, doesn't he? Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around. This is a time between you and your God. Please stand to your feet. Let people that want to get out, get out. This old-fashioned altar is here for us to do business with God in a serious and sincere way, the Bible says. Come to this old-fashioned altar, and why don't you listen? I know you're busy. I know. Why don't you ask God to help you? Why don't you ask him to help you to see the way? Why don't you ask him to help you for more time? Why don't you ask him to help you have more energy? Whatever it is that's stopping you from following him every day, whatever it is, ask God to remove it out of your life. What's more important to you right now? What's more important, really, right now? God or anything else? Make that decision right now, because he's coming back, and it could be soon. It could be today. I don't know when, but he's right now preparing a place for you. And that place is going to be according to your works that you did on this earth, according to how you served him. I don't know of anyone else on this planet worthy of my love, worthy of my allegiance, worthy of my sacrifice. I don't know anyone who I should devote myself to other than Jesus Christ. Dedicate my life to. Give myself and surrender myself to anyone else other than Jesus Christ. And if you can agree with me right there, say amen. And ask Jesus Christ right now to be your Lord and Savior. And if you call him Lord, he said, why call me Lord and do not the things I tell you? Ask God right now all around the room. Say, Father, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for I've been out of the way many times. I go my own way. I want my own things. And I know today it's wrong. And I'm asking you to forgive me. And I know you will because you're kind and merciful and loving. But I hear your voice today. I know I'm your sheep because I heard your voice. And I come to you now. And I follow you now. I follow you wherever you go, Lord Jesus. Can we say that? Can we say, Lord Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go, especially when you go to heaven and take me there. Father, we pray for the soul that's nearest hell. We pray for that one person that we do not know the day or the hour of their death, but someone is nearest death in this room. We pray for them that you would convict them and bring them into the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus, that they would surrender their lives, their hearts, devote themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray the Holy Spirit would help them, keep them, strengthen them, convict them. And Jesus, we pray that you will give us that life that you promised. You'd give us life and life more abundant, that we would not be empty, we would not be vain, we would not be in darkness, but we'd follow the light that you've given us. Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you. I love you, Lord. Can we say that everywhere? I love you, Lord. Thank you for the blood you shed for me. Thank you for the spirit you've given me. Thank you for the word of God that teaches me all things. I pray that your word would dwell in my heart, that your will would be done the way you want it done. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.